To understand John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the 35th President of the United States, it is essential to go back in time to the green and impoverished fields of County Wexford on the southeastern coast of Ireland. There, in the mid-19th century, lived the Kennedys, a family of Catholic peasants who worked land leased from Protestant landlords, trapped in a feudal system that had survived almost intact since the 17th century and condemned most Irish people to a life of permanent subsistence. They owned no property in their own name. They had no political representation. And when hunger arrived, they would have no salvation either. The Great Irish Famine, known in Gaelic as An Gorda Mór, broke out between 1845 and 1852 as a direct consequence of the blight that devastated successive potato crops, the basic food of the rural population. The result was a human catastrophe without precedent in the modern history of Western Europe. More than 1 million people died of hunger and diseases related to malnutrition, and another 1.5 million left the island in search of survival. Among them was Patrick Kennedy, John's great-grandfather, who sailed for Boston in 1849 carrying little more than his name and the desperation of someone with nothing left to lose. He was part of a migratory current that would forever transform the social, political, and cultural face of the United States. Boston, the city where Patrick landed, was then a metropolis in the midst of industrial expansion, but also a deeply divided city. Irish immigrants were received with a mixture of calculated compassion and open contempt. Signs reading "No Irish Need Apply" were common in the windows of shops and workshops downtown. The Protestant aristocracy of Anglo-Saxon origin, known as the Boston Brahmins, viewed the newcomers as a threat to their social order and cultural hegemony. Patrick Kennedy settled in East Boston, worked on the docks unloading ships, and lived, according to the few surviving family accounts, with the forced austerity of a man who knew he could afford no luxuries. He died young, at 35, a victim of cholera, leaving his family in poverty only slightly less severe than the poverty he had left behind in Ireland. He had crossed the ocean, but the ocean had not returned what the famine had taken from him. Patrick Joseph Kennedy, the first step. It was his son, Patrick Joseph Kennedy, universally known as PJ, who began the slow but inexorable rise of the Kennedy name toward the spheres of Boston power. Born in 1858, PJ combined the natural gift for human relations that would characterize several generations of his family with a pragmatic business vision stripped of abstract idealism. He began as a stevedore, like his father, but soon understood that the real money in Irish working-class communities was not in physical labor, but in those who supplied their daily needs and pleasures. He opened one bar, then another, and eventually built a small but solid business in the distribution and sale of liquor in East Boston. The Irish bar of the late 19th century was much more than a drinking establishment. It was the nerve center of community life, the place where local politics were discussed, where new arrivals found work through informal networks of ethnic solidarity, and where emerging leaders forged the alliances that would define the future of their neighborhoods. P.J. Kennedy understood this ecosystem intuitively and became a key figure in the Democratic Party in East Boston. He was elected several times to the Massachusetts House of Representatives and cultivated a reputation as an honest man in an environment where honesty was a precious rarity. He was not a powerful orator or a man of deep ideology. He was a political operator, a builder of consensus, a man who knew whom to call when something needed to be resolved quietly. PJ's career illustrates a pattern that would repeat itself throughout the history of the Kennedy clan, the transformation of social capital into political capital, and of political capital into economic capital, in a cycle that each generation inherited with greater resources than the one before. When he died in 1929, the same year as the stock market crash that ruined so many American families, the Kennedys had not only survived the poverty of their origins, but had begun to define the political destiny of the state of Massachusetts from its deepest foundations.